Today in the gospel, we hear this kind of bizarre intervention where this group of Sadducees, it's the only time in the Gospel of Luke that the Sadducees are mentioned at all. In fact, we know so little about them because they left no writings after the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. The whole of this particular sect within Judaism is destroyed. And so it's only a few passages in Josephus and the few places that they're mentioned in the Gospels and the Acts of the Apostles that we know anything at all about them. But anyway, they come and they put this, what they call a question, but in fact, it's this bizarre situation, bizarre scenario. This situation of these seven brothers, one marrying this woman, one after another, and all of them dying without the woman being able to bear a child to any of them. And so whose wife will she be? And Jesus, of course, wants to answer that question by referring them back to the scriptures that they accept, and they only accepted the first five books of the Torah, the first five books of the books of Moses. And there he reminds us in that place, we call it Exodus 3, where Moses is there before the burning bush. And the Lord reveals himself to Moses in that situation by the reference back to the patriarchs, that I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. The God, therefore, of the living, not of the dead. This continuing sense that in God, all of these people continue to have life. And that principle is so central for us as Christians, especially during this month of November when we pray for our dead. That continuing sense that we have the power of God still being available to us. Now remember that the point of this series is this objective of being able to move from the murkiness and the mess that so many of us have in our lives, that situation of not just things like our garages and our wardrobes, but also just a sense of our lives. You know, so often, if you're one of those people that might make a to-do list, and you know that you've set the to-do list at the beginning of the day, but then by the middle of the day, you realize that not only haven't you really accomplished anything on that to-do list, but the list has actually grown longer as you've had more and more things happen to you during the course of the day. So this is about trying to bring focus into our lives and bringing that sense of order. We discovered some of these principles that sometimes, even though the world and marketers and so much of advertising and so forth is telling us that we need more things in order to be happy. We need the latest gadget. We need this new device. We need something that's bigger and better and shinier and more colorful. But no, in fact, to have less, in fact, allows us that focus and that freedom to enjoy the things that we have, so that less is always more. And the stress is always, well, sometimes there's a good stress, there's a stress that motivates us and a stress that drives us and a stress that allows us to meet a deadline. But stress that's imposed upon us, stress that is caused by having too many commitments, stress that's caused by a debt burden that's just too great to be able to handle, that's not a good thing. And again, living simply and being able to settle for the one thing that we have at the moment rather than this desire to have something that's never going to satisfy us anyway and that will impose this heavy debt burden upon us, that's never a good thing. So to live in that freedom. We saw that the richest people in the world are not the ones who have the most things, but those who are able to live with the least, who are able to be content with the least. That sense that when you know that the things you have now are enough and you're able to really be content and happy and find fulfillment in those few things that you have right now, that's that moment. That's that person who has experienced absolute freedom and joy and wonder. And it's why you can go into a third world country and go into those terrible situations of poverty and yet see such joy and wonder, because the few things that those people have, they're able to find that joy and that contentment with. Not that we shouldn't be working to reduce and to eliminate poverty in the world, but it's not at the expense of this clutter and this desire that isn't from God, to have more and more stuff. We also saw that to give is a good thing, and that principle that if you get something new, then you should be giving something away. It's one of the reasons with St. Vincent de Paul that we're cooperating in the parish to have these giving baskets at the doors of the church each week. And so there'll be an opportunity just to bring something, a non-perishable food item that you can place into those baskets, that we can share in that very practical way of our bounty and of our excess with those who don't have that same access to goods and services that we have. And so to have that sense of being able to give things away, it's such a freedom and such a good measure. And so those giving baskets are going to be a regular feature of our church from this week. And so we saw that there is this process that we need to move through. So to first to evaluate the different things in our lives, to look at those things that actually give us joy, those things that, you know, those items of clothing that we do in fact like, that they fit us well and we look good, well, as good as possible anyway, in those particular clothing. And just to think, well, these are the things that I should keep. These are the ones that are worthwhile keeping. The rest, let's put them in that pile of items that, you know, if they're rubbish, that we throw away. If they're still pretty decent, that we give to St. Vinny's or to wherever. The sense of evaluating not just the stuff in our lives, but also the projects, those things that we know that we can contribute well, those hobbies and activities that provide such contentment and such joy in our lives, finding those relationships that are life-giving, finding those things that provide that sense of passion for us. And we saw also that sometimes it's the negative things, the things that we're most angry about, that can point us in that direction of what we need to be evaluating our lives. And so this Sunday, as we focus on the catechists in our community, to really think, well, do I have this desire to share my faith, to be able to teach little children the joy and wonder of knowing God? Has that been something the Lord might have placed upon my heart? So the evaluation part is that whole desire of looking at the goods and the good things and the bad things in our lives, and helping that, providing that as the framework to evaluate the different parts of our lives. But the second stage is to eliminate some of those things, to get rid of those things that aren't helpful, those parts of our life, those commitments that we might have made that really don't provide life and joy and wonder in our lives. And it's not enough just to eliminate, but we also need to make that trip to Vinny's. We need to make that choice to actually get rid of that stuff, to say no to things. And so that process of actually executing that decision that we've made to find that freedom. And the arrow continues back to the top. It's that sense of a continuing cycle. This is not something that we can just do once a year during spring, or to think this is something I've done now, but it's becoming a part and a way of life, of making this the discipline of our daily lives. The way we think, the way that we process, the way that we pray is all conditioned and formed in this way of thinking. And why? Because God is the God of the living. So we need to choose to live today. We need to make that choice. As Moses was handing over the baton of leadership to Joshua, they were there at the threshold of the promised land, and they were just about to cross over the River Jordan to make their way into the promised land. Moses calls the whole assembly of the people. He won't be making that final stage of the journey. He will die just outside the promised land. So he wants to offer these final words to the community. We read it in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 30. And there Moses says to the people, "Look, today I set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life, therefore. Choose the way of blessing. Choose the way of prosperity. Because that's the only way that we will find that freedom. We can continue to be the slaves that we were back in Egypt, or we can set aside that way of life that leads to death, and we can find and embrace the way of life that leads to that joy, to that blessing, to that prosperity that only God is able to offer to us. As we know from the company Nike, sometimes we need to just do it, to make that choice and to live in that freedom each day, to make that decision to find freedom and joy and life. Again, not as something that you just do once in your lifetime, but it's this constant activity and making it the habit of our daily lives to choose this every day. We know that in the Greek language, there are these two kinds of ways of talking about time. There's the chronos time. There's the time that we measure with our watches. And so we know that Mass today started at 7:30. And so it's that sense of just this quantity, this thing, this very boring kind of concept. But there's also the kairos moment. That kairos is the quality. It's the decision that helps us to evaluate things. And it's in that sense of the kairos moment, that moment when we can embrace the will of God and allow God to lead us into life, that makes all of the difference. We can see this in by way of comparisons. So chronos is that sense of the mind spinning out about the past and the future, whereas the kairos moment is just having that focus on what's important right now in this present moment. The chronos thing is thinking about what's important yesterday or tomorrow, but the kairos experience is just tuning in to what's important right now. Not about the past or the future, but living in this present moment. Chronos is saying, we'd be so worried about the past or stressing about what might be happening in the future, when Jesus so strongly and so clearly in Matthew 6 in the Sermon on the Mount tells us, don't worry about the past, don't worry about the future, live simply in this present moment, because that's where God is to be encountered. Again, there at the burning bush in Exodus 3, the Lord doesn't reveal himself when Moses asks his name. The Lord doesn't say to Moses, I will be what I will be, or I was what I was. God says to Moses, I am who I am. And it's only in the I am, it's only in this present moment that we will ever embrace God, that we will ever encounter God. We can only pray as we are today. We can only pray in this present moment. So let's embrace the present moment, because God is indeed the God of the living. So the choice is to live now, to embrace this moment now, and to see what is it that God might be challenging us right now to open our hearts to.